This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop a real faith for the real world. This was recorded in a live service at Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. We hope it will help you grow in your faith. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
I grew up watching Westerns on Saturday mornings. How many of you grew up watching Westerns on Saturday? All the old people, never any of the young people. What do the young people watch if they don't watch Westerns on Saturday morning? I mean, video games, right. Yeah, I can't compete with that. But Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, right? Annie Oakley, all those shows, movies. Those things taught me there are two kinds of people. The kind that wear the white hats and the kind that wear the black hats. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The good guys and the bad guys. For some of you today, those of you who really want to live for God and want to do everything that God wants you to do, you will think I am wearing the white hat today. That's what you will think. You will think I'm wearing the white hat because you want to go all the way with Jesus. If however, you are one of those people that's not really sure what you believe and you're not really sure that that you want to follow God, this is going to be a very uncomfortable 25 minutes here for you, and you'll be sure that I wear the black hat today. So whether I'm a good guy or a bad guy, I just want to preach the word to you this morning. It's the word that God gave me for you this morning, and so if you will have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're talking about honoring God. You know, that's what we're supposed to do with our life, is supposed to honor God every minute of every day. The reason why God won't let me kill you when you come up to the altar and give your life to Jesus is because you're supposed to honor God when you live, as you leave this place. You see, if it was all about getting people to heaven, we'd just blow your brains out as soon as you confessed to the Lord, and you wouldn't have to live. But we'd never hear testimonies like Wayne, who obviously God did an amazing thing in my life. He stole away that desire for my cocaine use, but Wayne worked through it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so whether God delivers you miraculously, don't think if he doesn't deliver you miraculously that he doesn't want you clean, because Wayne's a testimony of that. I'm just appreciative of that. Somebody who's stuck with it, and a couple bumps along the road, huh, Wayne? A couple bumps. So if you ever, I'll tell you what, somebody should take Wayne and Sherry out today for lunch. I don't know who that is, but somebody should take them out and ask them to give you their story. And while they're talking, you can eat, and you will have the best lunch you've had in a long time. I'm just telling you that because I had lunch with them, and I consumed massive quantities while listening to the most wonderful story. And so it was just amazing. It was a great time. And I can't wait to do it again. And they can start all over again because I get blessed every time I hear the testimony of God's grace in lives like that. So God bless them for all that he's doing. So today we're in Proverbs chapter 3. The whole portion of this is about honoring God. Now, that's what we're supposed to do with our whole life. Everything that we do, we're supposed to live to honor God. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 9, and we'll read through verse 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Even the treasurer didn't say amen at the end of that one. In the first service, the treasurer was the only amen. No amen to that at this time. 3 points, life-changing points. If you will be foolish enough or wise enough to do these things, then God will change your life radically. The first truth is revealed in this thing is to honor the Lord with your wealth. Interesting to me that this word honor me is the word kabod, the glory of God. Like ichkabod, when the glory left the Israelites, that's the same word. So honor God is in order to live your life in a way that you bring honor and glory to God, and that's the whole purpose. So he says to bring honor to God, to bring honor to the king, in by living your life, then what you need to do is you need to do that in every capacity. We do it in prayer. We do it in counseling. We do it in teaching. We do it in disciple making. We honor God in every aspect of our life. But this has to do with our wealth. And so this is why it's quiet in here this morning. If you're wondering why it's quiet, it's because we're talking about money. People don't like us to talk about money. But we're going to talk about money today anyway, because the Scripture says this is one of the ways that we honor God, is to honor God with our wealth. In fact, it couldn't be any more biblical here than the simplicity of the first line. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, when it says wealth, those of us who are middle class or poor, we're not left off of that, because the Hebrew word for this is increase or substance. So it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to be filthy rich in order to honor the Lord, but that every single one of us has a way or an opportunity to honor God. So more rightfully it would say give glory to God, give the glory to God in all your substance or all your increase or in all your wealth. So this tells us that there's a way for us to bless God with our finances. Scripture is replete with opportunities and examples of people who are giving honor to God by their finances, by their giving. Go all the way back into Genesis. You don't have to turn there, but the story of Cain and Abel is the story of a murder that happened between two brothers who were jealous over the blessing of God on one person's offering. All the way back to the very beginning, Cain and Abel fussed over, well, actually Cain was the only one that was bent out of shape because Abel was blessed. So Cain was bent out of shape because Abel's offering was blessed. So there was a recognition that there was a God way to do it and a right way to honor God with our finances. Abraham is honored God by giving a tenth of all his spoils when the four kings were fighting the five kings. And that when the four kings were fighting the five kings, you remember Lot, his nephew, got kidnapped. And so he went after them with the 360-some people of his household. And he captured Lot, and he got all the spoils back. And so the very first thing he does is he brings a tenth of all the spoils to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek gives him bread and wine, and then he goes off and gives the rest of it to the king of Sodom. He had no intention of keeping it himself, but even though he was not keeping the spoils for himself, the spoils of war or the booty of war, he was saving it for himself, not saving it for himself, but he was still going to give 10% to the Lord. And so we see that there's a giving portion there. David said in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 22, that he would not give to the Lord anything that did not cost him anything. This is the story of David and Araunah. Araunah is the owner of a field, and David is the king over Israel, and there's a plague upon the nation of Israel, and the prophet speaks to David and says, you should build an altar here and offer a sacrifice in this place so you can get this plague to come off of Israel. And so David says to Araunah, let me buy this field from you. And Araunah, recognizing him as the king and recognizing his authority, says, I will just give you this land. And David says, oh no, I will not give to the Lord anything that does not cost me something. I want my offering to be genuine and sacrificial. I don't want to just have some land. And so because of that, God blesses the offering, answers David by fire, actually, and receives that, and the plague is alleviated from Israel. There's also the story of Jesus watching the widows, or watching the people give in the offering, and sees the widow's mite, the widow come and deposit her mite in Luke 21. And so as he's watching, he's evaluating the giving patterns of the people there, and he sees the widow, and he recognizes that she is truly giving sacrificially out of her own heart. And Jesus praises her for being one of the greatest givers, not because of the quantity that she gave, but because she didn't have very much at home. She just had these two mites, and so she gave these two mites. And so Jesus is evaluating that giving pattern based upon what's left, not what they had in the bank account beforehand, but what's left and how much faith that took. So in each of these situations, and many, 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 many more throughout the Bible, we see that there's both Old Testament and New Testament biblical precedent to honor God with our giving and our wealth. And so this is flowing right into what this Proverbs chapter 3 says: honor the Lord with all your substance, with all your increase, with all your wealth, and bring this before the Lord. Now, there are certain ways that you don't honor God with your wealth. One of those ways is by incurring massive amounts of debt. Somebody could say amen there if you have massive amounts of debt. You know that doesn't honor God because it limits you. Romans chapter 13 says to owe no man anything except the debt of love. And so massive amounts of debt require us. In fact, Proverbs 22 says to us that that the borrower is slave to the lender, because now if you have, if maybe somebody in here knows what it's like to have massive amounts of debt, if you have massive amounts of debt, when you wake up tomorrow morning and go to work, what portion of your day is given to paying down that debt? That's a depressing thing to think about. So the key is to give master charge, the master the charge of your life, not to give master charge the charge of your life. You understand? So the idea is to live for that. In fact, Jesus says you can only serve God or mammon, but you can't serve both money and God. So he says that there's some kind of a corrupting influence that comes when we have that money as the Lord over our life. And so we have to make sure that while we need money, while we ask God for supply, that those things that he brings to us are things that we can use for his kingdom, not things that grab a hold of our soul. Another way to dishonor God besides debt and serving money is to be stingy. Jesus said to give to everyone who asks. And so that means that you have to have a certain amount of trust in the Lord in order to give to those who ask of you. In fact, Jesus it was absolutely clear in a couple of places in the New Testament to say that that we should be willing to give and that we shouldn't be stingy. Stinginess dishonors God. Another way that dishonors God is worrying about money. If you're sitting around fretting about where the money's going to come from, let me give you the answer. Jesus, that's where it's going to come from. So he's going to, I don't know, he may have you work for it. He may just send a check to you in your mailbox. You may trip over a $100 bill. I remember one time we had a gal over at the other church, and she was in tight financial times. She was just believing God for a supply. She was out weeding the garden in the front of the church, which, by the way, was beside her, not really her part of her job duty, but she felt like she did that unto the Lord. And as she went there, and it was about this time of the year where the little, you know, the nasty dry sticks from the plants are there. It's kind of sticking up, but there was not a lot of leaves. And as she walked over to one, wrapped around one of those little sticks over at 25th and Austin, right on Austin Boulevard, where all the kids walk down the street going to Morton. Every other Morton kid walked past that thing. Here is a $100 bill folded in half, flapping in the breeze, trying to get her attention as she's out there weeding the garden and turning the dirt underneath there. And she came back with this great praise. You see, God knows how to bring. So sometimes God sticks his money in your garden. Sometimes he puts it in your paycheck. Sometimes you trip over it when you're walking, but it all comes from God. That's the way you have to understand it. And so this is the way that we honor God with our wealth. You say, Pastor, are you trying to tell me how to spend my money? Yes. Yeah, I know. So white hat, black hat, I don't know which one you think I'm wearing so far. But the first truth is that this is a biblical thing, to honor the Lord with your wealth. The second thing is, the second truth is that it's first fruits giving that he has in mind here. So look again at the verse, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. I want you to think about it a little bit, what it's like to plant, to be a farmer. Not so much in our day, but back in that day, where the seed was planted early in the spring, and then there's a long waiting, you know. You're trusting God for the sunshine. You're trusting God for the rain to come down. There's no irrigation of crops. There's no fertilizer. It's just you're waiting and hoping that this crop will come and be sustenance to you, give you life, and provide for your family. And just think about that, what it is for a farmer to wait, you know. What happens if you're hungry in the spring? You wait. What happens if you're needy in the middle of the summer? You wait, because you're waiting for the heads to grow on the grain. So let's say at the end of that, finally now you see the grain developing, and you immediately begin to go out and harvest that which is ready for harvest. You harvest it all in the first bushel. You've been waiting all summer. You've been longing for this. This is supply for your family, and God demands from us that we give a first fruits offering. So you are to take that first bushel and give it to the Lord. Honor the Lord with first fruits. See, the key word there is first. First. Oh, you don't like that. Pastor, are you talking about before the cable bill? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about before I top off the tank? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you can take care of this if when you get paid, you just write the check right there. Write the check to the Lord right there. Just write the check right there so it's first, so it's done up to. See, what we sometimes do is we try to figure our way how we're going to get through all this stuff, and then we can say, I just can't afford to give. Let me tell you, you can't afford not to give. I've seen some of you, some of us, you know, our lives, we need Jesus to break through into our life. And so this amazing process, this amazing truth here is that you give it first. Now, you say, Pastor, are you just trying to make sure that the church offerings are full? Certainly. Yes. We got a testimony this week given to us from a brother who just planted a church. Some of you remember Laudier Lugo, who Pastor Laudier came and he led worship when I was on vacation and preached for us. His church started in Humble Park. It was last week or the week before, I can't remember, and started that church, and the church has grown. I think they had 65 people at the first service, and so they were just, that's people from the neighborhood, not just visitors, but 65 people from the neighborhood at that service, and so this church has sponsored him, has helped him, gone out there. He and I walked through that building and prayed together over that building. We gave money to help him out with a sign. God is going to reach that corner of that neighborhood because of that. That's because of your giving. It's not because of me. You know, I walked through and prayed. I realize you weren't there then, but you gave to that. We have 50-something missionaries who are out there working, and I receive from them all the time emails saying, thank you for being one of the most faithful and consistent giving churches to us. Because we recognize, see, when Naomi's down in, where are you going? Honduras. When Naomi's going down in Honduras, we will not forget her, even if we can't remember where she's at. We will. Don't let me forget that, will you? Okay. We will not forget her, no matter where she goes. but we will remember her, and she knows that we'll be consistent, we'll be faithful. See, and that. So you say, I don't make apology for trying to make sure that the blessing of God comes into this house, so we can send the blessing of God out to all these other places, and people can hear the gospel of Jesus and see the love of Jesus in action. That's what we want to see, and that, I'm excited about that. I get excited about the fact that we can reach out and we get testimony back. I tell you what, God is proud of us when we do His will. I said in the first service that this church lives at the precipice of bankruptcy. Proudly we live at the very, if you're on the board, the first thing that people on the board go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Yes, we're one bad offering away from extinction. We'll go the way of the dodo bird. And the reason for that is because we don't hoard. We don't try not to make safety net. We're trying to put money into action, into ministry. And I know pastors that have millions of dollars in savings accounts that they just lean upon. Listen, if that ever happens here, you need to fire me, because I will put all that money out into the ministry where people will get saved and come to Jesus. I will bankrupt you. I will not, you know, I want that money to go out there and minister to people. You're clapping for somebody else's tithe, but you want yours right here. I know. So the idea here is that God has given us this great festival, the festival of the first fruits, and the key to first fruits is it's first. And when we begin to honor God first, for me, it's not an issue for me to honor God. I don't think of it. It's in my budget. You know, a lot of other things are iffy. I may not be able to afford this or that or the other thing, but that's one of the first things in my life. So I think we need to recognize that that's a part of it. This is a huge statement of faith. In order for you to grab a big giant bushel of your first fruits of your crop and give it to the Lord, that's a huge statement, because you've been waiting for so long for that to come. And sometimes Friday seems so far away, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems like, and when it comes in to honor God, it's saying, Lord, you're first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and He will give you the rest of these things. He will give you the rest of these things. And Deuteronomy 26, it tells us that when we give the first fruits offering, there's supposed to be a testimony given. Listen to the testimony that's suggested for us by Moses. And you shall make response before the Lord your God, saying this, a wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and he sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. with great deeds of terror and signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given to me. And then the command is, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. You know, it's sometimes when we pass the basket, we don't really catch the same thing, do we? But there needs to be praise. We need to give with praise. That's why even in the New Testament it says that that God loves a cheerful giver. The idea is not just that you're happy to give, but that you recognize how great God is. Wouldn't it be great if we had an opportunity to hear the testimony of every person as they were able to place, well, it would take forever, but as they would place their offering in the basket, and they could say, listen, I was lost, I was blind, I didn't know what I was doing, I was a drug addict, I was a thief, I was a robber, I was hateful, I was spiteful, my marriage was trash, all the above, somebody could say, and yet God saw me in that place, and he blessed me, and he brought me into his house, and he brought me in there, and so I give this, recognizing him, praise you, God. Amen. And then the next guy stood up. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be, wow, let's have that service, an offering service. You don't seem as excited about that as me, but that would be really exciting for me to hear. What a great testimony. That's the way first fruits offering were supposed to be given, recognizing God first, not only that, but also with testimony of praise that God wants to that God had blessed us, and so it's making that clear. Tithing is a type of a first fruit offering. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 5. God makes it clear that the one-tenth portion of the increase is to go to him. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 27, it tells us that the tithe belongs to the Lord, and that in Malachi 3 it says, you have robbed God, and that was because they were spending the portion that was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. So all this financial stuff, it has to do with honoring God, remember? And so the whole purpose of this is that we're supposed to be honoring God. In fact, so much so that in the Old Testament, the tithe was considered God's portion. Anybody who messed with it, a curse came upon them. That's why in Malachi chapter 3 it says, and the curse has come upon you. Now, some people are offended by that, saying that that's the Old Testament, and that nowhere in the New Testament says that we should continue to tithe, which is not exactly true, because Matthew 23:23, Jesus tells them, tells the Jewish people there that they should continue to tithe. It doesn't set them free from the tithe. In fact, if we look at the way that the giving is listed in the New Testament, we see that it's proportional. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 list this out for us. It's proportional, it's timely, it's weekly, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's consistent. And so this idea that when they gather together, they're bringing together this offering that's proportional to their income, and it's supposed to be given cheerfully. And finally, it's also supposed to be recognized that there's a blessing on the back end. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's what he says. So you might even say, you have not because you give not. You might even see that in the scripture there if you're looking there. We honor God with our wealth because it means that we're stepping out in faith. And everything about it is faith. If you ask me, Pastor, can you explain it? No, I can't explain it. I cannot explain how giving a tithe, how God can bring that back in. I can give you examples through my life, through the history of my life, as we practice honoring God with our wealth. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and continues to bless us. And so I can give you examples. I can tell you how God has provided sometimes through coupons in the Tribune. Little plug there for the Trib. Sometimes God has blessed us with exactly what we need. We walk into a store and the exact same thing that we came in is there with such a great sale that we end up getting a great blessing back because of it. But not only that, but God has blessed us many, many times as we've given to him because it's by faith. And it truly is by faith. I have no idea where the next little bit is going to come from, but God knows. And many times God will stretch my faith and say, I want you to give this. And I always say, Lord, you know, that's my last 20 bucks. In fact, to be honest, today there was a need in the body and somebody came to me and said, hey, can you help a brother out, basically? And I said, okay. Because I know who I'm lending that money to. It's a brother. But it's God. And so I had designs for that money. Don't you? Every dollar in your wallet, don't you know exactly where it's going to go? Huh?
Oh, man, I had the best sandwich yesterday. $7.56 it was, $7. Pot roast sandwich. Oh, man, it was slap your mama good. And I was going to keep that $20 so I could go back to that place. Great. See me afterwards. I'll give a testify. But not to everybody, because I don't want you all beating me there on Sundays after service, because you will go there consistently. Anyway, sometimes we have designs for that. This is all by faith. God honors it. I mean, I can't guarantee anything that God doesn't already guarantee. All I can do is just say to you, it's by faith. A philosopher and a scientist and a simple man were all thrown into a pool in the middle of sheer walls. They split up, but the tide kept coming in. They were likely to drown because none of them knew how to swim. Rescuers lowered a rope with a safety harness down to the water. And the philosopher said, "Ah, this looks like a rope, but I could be mistaken. It could be wishful thinking or a mirage or some form of illusion." And so he didn't attach himself to it, and he was drowned. The scientist said, "Ah, this is an 11-millimeter polyester rope with a breaking strain of 2,800 kilograms. It conforms to the MR-1018 standard," and then proceeded to give an exhaustive and entirely correct analysis of the rope's physical and chemical properties. But he didn't attach himself, so he was drowned. The simple man said, "I'm not sure if that's a rope or a python's tail, but it's my only chance, so I'm grabbing it and I'm holding on for dear life." And he was saved. See, sometimes we analyze the point to where it no longer works. It's like having a dog that you really love and you always wonder how your dog worked. If you cut it open and try to figure it out, you've killed the dog. It will no longer greet you as you pull into the driveway and come lick your face as you walk into the house. You may understand it better, but you won't understand it fully because now having put it all back together, it won't work for you like it used to work. Sometimes faith is like that. Sometimes we just have to be childlike in our faith and just trust God. And I think that's what is required of us as believers in Jesus. You say, "Well, I need to see it before I can believe it." Well, that's not faith. That's looking for evidence. The third truth here that will change your life is recognizing that God promises blessing. Peg alluded to it earlier. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Anyone who comes to Him, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, must believe, number one, that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You can't have biblical faith only believing that He exists. You can't have biblical faith only believing that he is out there somewhere. You have to believe that He not only is out there, but He is there to receive us as we pursue Him. And as we pursue Him, He will reward us along the way. And that's exactly what Solomon, as he's writing to his son, is writing in the book of Proverbs. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops." And he says to them, look again here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, "Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will be brimming over with new wine." And then some person in his place is thinking they're very spiritual, saying, "Lord, all I want is enough to meet my needs. All I want is enough for my needs." But can I just tell you this morning, can I just tell you today that's a very selfish prayer. That is a very selfish prayer. Because if all you ever have is enough to meet your needs, then you will not be able to help anyone else. And God did not create you to only have enough for you. Look again in that passage of Scripture. It says, "Overflowing barns and brimming over vats." So God wants to bless you with enough for you, but for more, so you can help someone else. So you can help a brother out. And so if you recognize the truth of this passage of Scripture, then you recognize that God not only wants to bless you for being faithful, but He wants to bless you so He can use you. And that's the greatest blessing of all. Because then you can bless someone else, and you can be used to change their life and point them to the God who blesses you. You see, this is a great investment for God, because God will pour back into your life as you're obedient a great blessing. And then what do you do with it? You invested in someone else's life. God is creating little investors who will go throughout the world loving and blessing and showing Jesus to people all throughout the world, sending missionaries out and helping those who are in need. God is doing that all because we're not praying, Lord, just meet my needs. Give me overflowing barns. Give me brimming over vats. You say, that sounds like it's greedy, but that's not the purpose of it. It's not so I can build bigger barns and have bigger vats. It's so that I can give more to those that are starving and those that are hungry, so I can bless those out there, and that's the whole purpose. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my Father's house. That's what it says in Malachi. The purpose of all this is so that the giving flows into the house so that we can bless those who are around. I'm blessed. You know, last week, we blessed a brother who was desperately in need. This week, we blessed a brother who was desperately in need. You don't get to see that. Only those of us on the council get to see that. Maybe a few other brothers get to see how many people are blessed because the people of God are faithful to give and give and give and give. If all you want is your needs to be met, then I pity you more than all. Because then you're just being selfish yourself. But if you're free, see, I'm not here to beat you up if you haven't been faithful in your giving. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to beat you up if you're not practicing giving to the Lord and honoring Him with your wealth. I'm reminding you who He is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm reminding you of who God is, who He says He is. I don't think you can have overflowing vats if you're not honoring God with your wealth. I don't think God is going to give you those things if you don't honor Him with your wealth. God wants us to honor Him and so give Him glory. It wouldn't be good enough for me to give somebody some money without saying, Lord, let them know this came from You. You see, that's the key, that God would be glorified in the whole thing. So this morning, my prayer for you is that God would show you if you're short. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to threaten you. I'm not here to make promises that I can't keep. What I'm here to do is give you the opportunity to repent. So what I've done here is I've put a basket out here. If you want to make good, then this is how you would repent. This is how you do it. You say, can't I come to the altar and cry and have you pray over me? We could do that. But first, I'm telling you the truth here. I'm trying to be a truth teller. Have I now become your enemy because I'm trying to tell you the truth? Oh, that was last week's sermon. You see, what I'm telling you, if you want to make it right, you can make it right, cash or check. I'm being honest with you. Pastor, are you just all about the money? Yeah, that's why I'm dressed in this fancy suit. JCPenney. I just think if we want to walk in the blessing of God, we've got to do the things that God wants us to do.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. We'd love to help you further as you grow in Christ. May God bless you. Come out and visit us at Christian Life Center, 3409 South Grove, Berwyn, Illinois. Or check us out on the web, www.berwynag.org.